We're going to start with the conclusion of the service today for a moment. We have four prayer stations: Harold, Rob, Heather, and Wayne. Just take a look at the prayer stations. When my message, the last point of my message, it relates to the picture. So we're talking about a spiritual reset. And the last point in the message is a spiritual reset always brings positive results. So here we have a picture of the last verse says, "Then the Lord ordered Jonah, and he spit up Jonah on the beach." Now that's a very positive result, right? He lands on the beach. There's not much beach there, but the fish finds it, and he posits him at the beach. So I'm going to invite you to press a reset button, a spiritual reset button today. And I don't know what area of your life God is going to touch, but at the conclusion, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make this commitment in the context of community. You know, it's one thing, I think all of us have experienced where we make a commitment in our pew by ourselves, and then all of a sudden we forget about it. You know, there's a heightened sense when you walk forward and say, "Harold, will you pray with me? I'm committing this area of my life to God." And it just deepens it. And then there can be encouragement and follow-up, or you can go to Wayne, or you can go to Heather, or you can go to Rob, and they're going to pray with you. And so we want to see what God is going to do. And so that's where our message is going to conclude. And thank you. You may take your seats. And a special thanks for Madison for drawing that very fitting picture, which leads us to our conclusion. Well, let's go back to the beginning, and then you have to endure something in between now and the end, the conclusion, but hopefully it won't be too painful. Jonah chapter 2. "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, 'I cried to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves, and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone.' Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach." There is an appliance in our kitchen with which I have a love-hate relationship, and that is the carburetor in the sink. I love the carburetor when it functions the way it should. I throw stuff in and turn it on and you hear it churn and away it's all gone. I hate it when it gets clogged, which does happen. And then I have to begin my procedures. So the first thing I do is I open the cupboard doors under the fridge, and I reach through the recycling cans and cartons that are on their way to the blue box, and find the bottom of the carburetor, reach around, and finally I find the reset button. And best case scenario, when I hit the reset button, the thing is reactivated, it churns, and you hear a bit of water sloshing, flushing, and all of a sudden it's gone, and you hear just the sweet hum and whir of the carburetor running freely the way it should, waiting for its next assignment. Well, that is the metaphor for my message today, pressing the reset button. And it occurred to me that it was beyond the carburetor analogy does work. You know, when we lose our connection with God, junk, crud, collects in our life. And if we press the reset button in our relationship with God, God washes it away. And our life can run happily and smoothly again, and we are ready to absorb and face any of the challenges of life by His strength. Well, Jonah found himself in a very difficult position. Jonah, we talked last week, Jonah, the god of the second chances, of how he was God's man, and God gave him this assignment, and Jonah said, no, I don't want to go. And instead of going east, he went west. Instead of going to Nineveh, he started heading for Tarshish, and he boarded a ship. It wasn't enough. He wanted to get to a different continent, never mind staying on the same country. So in the ship, and there's a storm, and the interrogation by the sailors, and he gets thrown overboard, and God created the fish. It says fish. It could be a whale, and I'll use that term interchangeably. But so he's on his way, running away from God. The book of Jonah teaches us a lot about human nature. And if you're honest, you have to say part of Jonah resides in you, that rebellious part. All of us are capable of rebellion, and sometimes we surprise ourselves with our rebellion. But it doesn't surprise God, because God knows that people, that's human nature. We can do very bad things. The book of Jonah also teaches us a lot about God. It teaches how gracious God is. And so when Jonah is over-the-top rebellious, God pursues him. God adopts him as a project. And it's like God is saying to them, well, Jonah, I see that you've got a problem here. We're going to start working with your problems, because I don't want you to go through life with all those hang-ups, with all that brokenness. I want you to be a whole person. I want you to work through this. And so, what's your problem, Jonah? Are you a racist? You were supposed to go to Assyria, and it seems like you hate those people. I want you to deal with that hatred. Jonah, are you that hard-hearted and calloused that you have a complete disregard for all those people in that great city, that you don't care about their future? I want to soften your heart. Jonah, do you have an anxiety issues in your life? Just because you've never been to another country and are going to have to preach to an interpreter, you don't have to panic. You don't have to have an anxiety attack. I want to heal you on the inside so that you'll be able to face up to the challenges of his. So God adopts Jonah as a project and works with him and helps him sort it out. And the book will close, and I'll be interested to hear how Wayne deals with it. You know, the story is that we'll never be there completely. We're all works in progress, but let's be open. Well, the story of Jonah is an almost unbelievable story, isn't it? But I say almost unbelievable, because in the context, of course, it becomes entirely believable. Number one, the God who created the universe could certainly orchestrate things so that there was this real story, real man, real call, real storm, real sailors, real thrown into the ocean, and a real fish, and a real rescue, and recovery. That's all really. God can do those miracles. But in case you have a hard time accepting it at the miracle level, it can also be explained at the natural level. At least it has by some. And I remembered the name Dr. Harry Rimmer as a person who had stories, and so I Googled Harry Rimmer, and sure enough, up comes the first thing that pops up is the Jonah story. Here's the report from Dr. Harry Rimmer, who lived from 1890 to 1952. And his doctorate, by the way, is an honorary doctorate from Wheaton College. So, you know, a bit of a caveat there. But anyway, here's what Harry Rimmer says. He tells personally of meeting a sailor who fell overboard from a trawler in the English Channel and was swallowed by a gigantic whale shark. The entire trawler fleet set out to hunt the shark down, and 48 hours after the accident, the shark was sighted and slain with a one-pound deck gun. Not a pound and a half, but a one-pound deck gun. The carcass was too heavy for the ship's winches to handle, so the crew towed it to shore, intending to give their Christian friend a burial. Now, when the shark was opened, the man was found unconscious but alive. He was rushed to the hospital, where he was found to be suffering from shock alone, and was later discharged, and he was on exhibit in the London Museum at a shilling admission, and was advertised as the Jonah of the 20th century. So, if you need that kind of a corroboration, if that strengthens your faith, there's the story. But anyway, we take it to be a real story, and it's filled with lessons. So where Jonah experienced a spiritual reset in the stomach of the whale, and we want to talk about a spiritual reset, and let's observe that a spiritual reset happens through prayer. Jonah really gives us a short course on effective prayer. And we see that he prayed sincerely, earnestly. His heart was in it. He cried to the Lord. And it says he prayed earnestly. And different phrases indicate that there is genuine sincerity. So when it comes to prayer, if we want our prayers to be effective, we better pay attention to what we're praying. I think so often there is a sense of apathy and complacency in our prayers, and almost we're kind of go through the motions. It's kind of a liturgy rather than heartfelt. See, there's a lot hanging on our prayers, and so when we get serious, and God wants us to pray for things that are really, that we have some intensity about, some passion about, and when God stirs our heart, we'll start praying knowing that there's a lot hanging on our prayers. And there is. Now, I was visualizing you seated before me here today, and me coming in early, and people gathering. And I was saying, so we can gather the people, you know, we get the promotion out there, get the invites out there. We can gather the people. We can get the musicians to play the music. We can get the preacher to talk. But none of that is what we really want. We want more than that, right? We want more than that. Only God can change hearts. And so as we walk in here today, let's not be content with having heard words. Let's ask for God to touch our hearts. And those areas where we have been callous or where we're rebellious, that we will say, let's press the spiritual reset button. In every church, and I have a heightened sense of it today, in every church this day will be people who have probably never been at church before. And so we don't know who comes to church, and when they walk in here, they should feel something special. They should feel the presence of God. And when we leave here, we should walk with a sense of empowerment, saying, wow, that nurtures the best parts of me. My best instincts are strengthened. I feel empowered. I feel more equipped to handle the challenges of the day. That comes from the power of God. And that will only come as we are a people of prayer. And I know that we are a people of prayer. I didn't see it. There are Sunday mornings, and I don't know if it happened today, when people walk through every row of chairs and pray for every person that will be here in our auditorium. Now, we need to band so that all of us are saying, yes, we want every person that comes to be touched by the power of God. There's urgency. There's a lot hanging on our prayers. And it was Jonah's life was a life and death issue for him, but it was also a life and death issue for the people of Nineveh. And so, you know, we can never come to the place in our Christian life where we say, "Well, the prayer topic, I've got that covered. You don't have to talk to me about prayer." I can't imagine anybody having that attitude in prayer. We always say, there's always more we can pray about. There's more intensity level we can add. So let's press, all of us here, press the spiritual reset button on our prayer, on our urgency of it, or the intensity of it, the passion of it, the frequency of it, so that we will release the power of God in our midst here and experience and be a blessing to all people that we come in contact with. Well, Jonah, in his prayer, he prays with great sincerity, but he also prays repentantly and submissively. He comes and he says, "I will fulfill." He doesn't say, "I'm sorry, please forgive me," but it's written between the lines. He says, "I will go and offer my sacrifice. I will fulfill my vows." And so, which is another way of saying, "I am willing to go to Nineveh." So there is a repentant note and a submissive. And he says, "You threw me into the depths. You snatched me from the jaws." And so he has a side that God is sovereign over everything. Now, there's a tremendous comfort there. Sometimes we can feel weighted down with what's happening in the world around us, things over which we have no control. If you then step back and say, God is sovereign, and all I have to do is surrender to that sovereignty. And so in our prayers, we come with that sense of surrender and don't define the outcome too clearly, although in Jonah's case, it was pretty clear what he wanted from God, and he got it from God. Jonah also prays expectantly and thankfully. There's a note of praise in his song, and he has faith. And God wants us to be people of faith in our prayers. So the call to prayer, there's a lot riding on our prayers. It makes a difference for us individually. It makes a difference in our families. It makes a difference in the church, in our community, in our city, in our nation, in our world. Let's press the spiritual reset button on prayer. A spiritual reset is needed often. Now, there are the big items, like in Jonah's case, it was a major crossroads event where he had an assignment and he just willfully said no. You know, sometimes people end in the ditch very badly with their relationship with God and with their life, and there is this major reset required. You know, may God in his grace help us to press that button if that's where we are. If you know someone, pray for them, help them. If you're here today it might not be evident on the outside, but you know that you're kind of in a major jam in some area of your life. You need this big mega rescue. Press the reset button on that big item. Or it may be in the smaller items. You know, I was in my life. I remember the first spiritual start button that I pressed when I was 4 years old, praying to receive Christ in the stairwell of our country home with my sister. When she asked me, "Do you want to go to heaven?" I said yes, and she said, "Well, then you have to pray to receive Jesus into your heart," which I did. And it's easy to be kind of dismissive of what a four-year-old's prayers are. But ever after that, I counted myself to be a follower of Jesus. And that was a significant start button. If you have not pressed that start button, where you kind of clarify, yes, you want to follow Jesus, I encourage you to go to one of the stations, press that start button today. Another spiritual button for me was important. When I was 14 years old, they announced in our church that there were going to be a baptismal service. And somehow, I can only explain it as the Spirit of God touching my heart. That those next days and weeks, I could think of nothing else except this strong weight on me You should be baptized. You should get baptized. And I was petrified about it because you have to share your public, your testimony in front of the church, and they would quiz you about it. And they didn't make it easy in those days if you wanted to be baptized. But somehow God overwhelmed me with this desire to press that spiritual milestone and say, yes, I want to declare my faith. And as an 18, that was when I was 14, as an 18-year-old, there was a sermon about deeper life service, and I went forward to rededicate my life to Jesus and to clarify that I really was a Christian. I kind of had these doubts. It's a significant spiritual moment in my life. And so, but after that, I have to admit my testimony of spiritual resets is very tepid. But long ago, I stopped apologizing for having a tame or lame testimony, and I realized it's nothing but just a huge grace of God. That I don't have to, you know, have a testimony about a broken marriage or unfaithfulness. That's all God's grace. God's grace. I'm so grateful for that. But thousands of times I've had to press that spiritual reset button on a lot of other little things. You know, if you want to grow as a Christian, if you want to be strong, if you want to be mature, if you want to be productive, you have to become an expert at pressing the spiritual reset button. Because we fail. You know, Bill Bright, the Campus Crusade guy, called it spiritual breathing. And today we're using an analogy of pressing the spiritual reset button. It may be that you have, it may be an attitude thing. Maybe you just started thinking about all the worries and difficulties in your life, and you slide into despair and into depression and into doubts and into anxiety. And God wants you to press the spiritual reset button and say, no, I'm going to be filled with faith. Or maybe it's a relationship. You've been grumpy and cranky and snapping at your marriage partner or your children. And you have to say, no, I don't want to be that way. And you press the spiritual reset button. And you will hear the water flushing and the carburetor going. And it all goes down the drain and you can start over again. As you have the freedom that God wants you to have. Whatever it is that has separated you from God, I want you to press the reset button. And that the final point here is that, you know, there always is a good result when we press the reset button. As it says here, and God, the Lord, ordered the fish to spit up Jonah onto the beach. And that is a pleasant outcome. It's always a good thing. There's always a good result, always a positive result when we reach and press the spiritual reset and let God cleanse us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful promise. We need to do that often. We probably need to do it daily. Well, if you feel disconnected from God, maybe it's because of disappointment, failure or sin, fatigue, hurt, whatever it is, I invite you to press the reset button and experience the good result that God has for you, a sense of freedom. I'm going to ask the worship team to come to the platform to play their closing set. And I'll ask the prayer counselors to go to their stations. And if you want to go and dedicate maybe something small, maybe something general, maybe something specific, maybe something major, but feel free. There's power in making a commitment in community. And so let's stand as we respond to God's call in our life today.